listening to James Valentine on ABC Radio.
The Even Greater Sydney Planning Committee is in session. H.G. Nelson and myself look after all aspects of Sydney planning. And look, it's an onerous job. How I manage to do the afternoon radio and this, it's almost beyond me. How H.G. Nelson manages to do this and keep his eye upon the sporting world with Roy Slaven. Again, what a challenge, but we're happy to take it on. Somebody had to, and someone, you can now sleep easy. Rest easy knowing that two such capable individuals are keeping an eye on Sydney planning week in, week out. Agenda items are welcome to 0467 922 702. HG will have brought in some agenda items himself, but you can, if there's something happening in the planning area, perhaps in the around the West Connects, perhaps the North Connects, the South Connects, the completely vertical down into the ground connects, whatever it might be, then tell us all about it this afternoon, and perhaps you've got other visions that you want to that you want to take place. Perhaps you want to refute our earlier discussion where we pointed out just how stupid the Bradfield scheme is, but if you've figured out how to make it work, by all means, let us know this afternoon. This is it, engineering on a citywide and national scale. 1300 222 702 or 0467 922 702. Good afternoon, HG.
Yes, an excellent introduction, Cobber Jim. There, I think it covered all the issues. Mm. Look, I've got a challenge for the audience this afternoon. I don't often bring a challenge.
Okay,
but the state government is brought down some budget items this week,
yes.
And it was incredibly interesting, and I went through the papers and I realised the state, that's Macquarie Street, is hoping to raise from your pocket and mine $1 billion in fines in the coming fiscal year.
Okay.
So what happens here is, what can they fine?
Yes.
Now, I know there's that street over there near the eastern suburbs Light Rail, which has got about 50 different speed limits that they clean up on.
Yeah.
But that's gross. That's just sort of implausible.
Oh, you think that's just too clumsy?
Like too clumsy.
Just saying changing speed limit every block, we know that one. You want fresh ideas.
Mm. I think the general public who move along that street, you'd have to get a couple of tourists from Melbourne blowing in for, say, the Hawthorn v Swans match tonight at the SCG to drive down there over 50 before you pinch any more money out of them.
Yeah, that's right.
And, look, I know you and I believe the state government is only limited by its imagination. Mm. Now, that's a big call because it's not as though there's a lot of imaginative heads inside the state government.
Look, I don't see that as an issue. The state government's busy. It's busy doing stuff. It's up for us to provide the imagination. That's what you and I do, HG.
Can I point out that I used to think this of the banks?
Oh, yeah.
Until I heard, was it the Hayne Royal Commission go to town on what the banks have been up to?
Yes.
Look, even it's beyond me to charge the dead for things.
Yes.
But a bank can do it with impunity.
Well, state government bring back, death tax.
I'm not sure about death tax. Oh, did you mention that? I mean, wash your mouth out with soap.
Yeah, sorry there. Yeah, those days are gone.
I don't mind taxing the dead, but make it creative.
Yes, yes.
You know, like, renting them plots
exactly.
out of the Rookwood Cemetery, if that's a useful idea, just to get the ball rolling.
Well, that's right. Perhaps others have to take on their job and their own job so you can tax both jobs, something like that. You keep working as the dead person.
How about this one?
Yeah.
This is just right off the bat.
Yeah.
A lottery for the dead only.
Gee, that's good.
Yeah. So as the next generation can inherit.
Yeah.
So everybody's name, obviously birth, deaths and marriages that have all the names there. Mm. It's $10 tax on the estate to go into a job lot of lottery, which pays out maybe $1,000 a week. So there'd be thousands of people who are dead.
Could you do a death lottery, which is if you die on this day, it pays out?
See what I mean? That'll get people interested.
$10,
state lottery.
Yeah, I'm going into the, higher Powerball.
At Lotto.
And,
Lotto Cemetery.
You open up your ticket and you've got, 18th of September.
Or some variation on that, which would be a relative of yours. You could nominate somebody who is feeling poorly.
Okay.
Somebody who smells burning now.
Yes. That's right. I keep having visions of a light. Okay, we might buy a bit of higher Powerball and Ferranti Joan. Is that your sort of idea? Yeah. Oh, I see.
Well,
nominate
I'm just starting this as a look. It's got to be a national like, conversation. It's got to, Mr. Valentine. It cannot be just you and me to carry the burden here. It's a national conversation. We're beginning to get more fines into the system.
I think your death system, where you nominate people, that's a sports bet area. So then we have a tax on that. I think your lottery, where you get a date assigned to you as random, that pays
no,
out.
No, I take your point. You know, I think that's quite good. The elegant detail there.
Good now, suggestions coming in for fines, and you can keep these coming. What can the state government find to get this $1 billion? As HG says, we're only limited by the imagination of New South Wales. 1-300-222-702 is our number. Loitering with intent to use a pedestrian crossing. You know, $200. Like, that's annoying, isn't it? You drive up and they're standing there checking the phone or something and you slow down, you look at them, they go, oh, no, no, no. You know, well, come on, man. Stand four steps back. Fine. Immediate fine. You know.
Isn't that fantastic?
You should be able to report them. There'd be an app on your phone.
No,
you can report them.
You've got a camera on top of the thing straight
Cameras
away.
Everywhere, all that sort of stuff, you know.
The Chinese are way ahead of us. I bet you they don't have any trouble with budgeting numbers because they just fine everybody.
Well, they're doing that. They've gone, you know, to the total Black Mirror society. You're on camera all the time.
Correct.
You misbehave, pick your nose, that's it. You know, fine. You lose points.
Yeah.
So terrific. You're a bit surly to the person in the shop, you lose. If you parked an hour too long in a spot, well, of course you're going to get just deducted from your bank balance.
Can I point out that we're not suggesting these draconian measures be introduced here in New South Wales? We can invent our own draconian measures.
Oh, special. Just ones suited to Australian conditions.
Yeah, because let's face it, everybody, our major source of tourism is China.
Yes.
We've got to start pinging people who don't know what they're doing, copying what they've got here. Well, because everybody's awake up to that.
Well, also, we have to be appreciative of the fact that if our major tourism market is China, let's make it a little more Chinese down here so they don't feel uncomfortable. Like, if they were suddenly like, what do you mean I'm not on camera? I can do what I like. They go crazy. They might lose it completely.
Well, you see, I bet you that idea that lurking near a pedestrian crossing and being fined for that, I bet you the Chinese don't have that. I'm happy to be proved wrong. I am happy to be proved wrong. But I reckon that could be an Aussie-only one.
Yes.
And so when people from China come here, we just make an absolute fortune out of them.
Yeah.
You know. Now,
what about using mobile phone whilst walking with scant regard for other pedestrians and passers-by?
Yeah, but that's so obvious.
That's too obvious for you?
I'm happy to. Yeah. You know, I've suggested this before, that we build a special lane past schools so as people can. I know we've got shot down for this before, but I think it's time to put it back on the agenda. Mm. Build special lanes past schools so as people can travel at the normal speed limit. At those, between 8:30 and, I haven't got that right, 8 and 9:30 in the morning, and 3 and 4:30 in the afternoon, or 2:30 and 4 in the afternoon.
So sort of overpasses or a whole bypass sort of area, so you can keep going. Keep your 80k going, though it's 3:05.
Yeah. But of course, you get pinged for it, as in that's a special lane.
Yeah, yeah.
But people are in a hurry these days. It's all about me. Mm. I just want to get there quickly. Well, you can pay for it.
Could you fine people if, let's say, they're building? Let's say, you know, we went and built, 20 stories. Called it Nelson Towers, for example.
Now you're talking.
If any cracks emerge in that building in the next two decades, should we fine Mr. Nelson on that one?
Can I? I'm disappointed you raised this issue.
Right, sorry about that.
You know, our building is the best building in the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we've only had two duds since the dawn of time. Yeah. I use that word advisedly. Mm. Two duds.
Yeah.
How many have we put up? Hundreds of thousands. Right. Now, sure, I accept that there's a lot of what I call phantom court cases going on about dud buildings. Mm-hmm. I accept that.
Yeah.
They're not seeing the light of day. The two that have seen the light of day are just two. Just two.
Yeah.
How many we put up? We put up hundreds of thousands.
Hundreds a week. You know.
Hundreds a week.
Yeah.
So I'd rather you didn't go into that space.
Okay.
To look for more money. Because
there'll be nothing there.
Correct. There'll be nothing there. Yeah. I think it's a phantom, the source of money in that area.
Mm. Mm.
I would like to suggest crowdfunding.
Yeah,
noticed that's taken off today in a very big way and very popular.
Yes.
And people seem to be prepared to give money for almost anything these days. And so I'm just wondering if crowdfunding could come to the aid. Like, the author of the Berejiklian Blueprint could appear on, say, a popular television show like A Current Affair and say, look, the state's broke. Could you crowdfund us out of this problem? If you believe in New South Wales, perfect.
Send us a dollar.
Perfect.
That sort of thing.
Now, does the state must have a slogan. They'd come up with a slogan. The marketing department would come up
with
You know, you can have it all.
Put your money where your state is. state your claim. You know, something like that. State your claim. Claim your state. Back your state.
Be part of something you can be part of.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, that's good. Be part of something that you're already part of.
Well, that'll do.
Be part of something you don't have much choice to be part of because there's cracks in your apartment and you're not moving. So, you know, something like that. That's
that'll do. That's got a ring to it.
Yeah, that's got a ring to it. Yeah,
now.
Yeah. You can have it all. You can have it all as long as you pay us.
Well, support the future.
Mm.
Now, can I just raise a couple of other things, but keep those ideas for what they can find coming in? Look, this EGSPEC, as we call it, has been tasked by management to lift our gaze a little bit.
Right.
And so normally it deals with street, local council, rural, state, and then we've been asked to lift our gaze to national and international, which we'll get to.
Yeah.
But on the state thing, you know, I was very saddened to realise that there, you know, people are still hurting from the drought. And 170 million more had to be donated to drought relief on top of, I think it was 350 that was originally allocated. So, you know, do the maths yourself. You're up over a fair bit, maybe half a bill. But a number of people, I didn't realise this, you know, I thought sheep, you know, hay, sheep and hay, put them together. But the hay isn't in the same place, so it costs money to get there, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But then I realised that people were hurting in different ways. So I think Gladys alerted me to the fact that the barista community across the state is hurting.
Really?
And then I thought, well,
because
what?
Of the drought?
Yeah, because of the drought. And I'm thinking, what, no beans, no water?
What, you can't, it's hard to get the water to the temperature because it's full of Murray Darling mud or something? Is that the
issue? I could
be
persuaded. Yeah. I'm not sure what the issue is, but I didn't realise the hard-working barista community across the state is really in trouble. And you go to places like Ningen, there might be 40 coffee shops in a place like Ningen. I'm sure Pambula has 150.
Yeah.
And this is the only, appears to be the only growth area in a lot of these places. Because let's face it, farming doesn't employ many. It employs tractors and big machines and stuff like that and crowd funds where the hay comes
well,
from.
Well, the big machine's got a GPS on it and a satellite ploughs the paddock itself, you know.
And that was the other
thing. Goes off to the pub, has a bender once a week, comes back again, you know.
And the job done.
The job done.
Now, so I'm just sort of interested in trying to make this personalise, this drought. Because, you see, people out there, they have 100,000 head. They have to sell 60,000 head just because the drought's come. They can only have 40,000. There's one per 20,000 hectares, all that sort of stuff. Yeah. Economics, agronomics. So, but the barista community, they don't have other skills that they can apply. It's not as though your barista can go panel beating.
Or shearing for the week or, you know, something like that. Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's
Are you saying they should learn some of those skills?
Well, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I just believe a barista is a vocation. And running, you know, if you run out of muffins, you cook more or your croissants aren't very good. You get them from another town, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a skill.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was worried that, in fact, enough money is enough money going to the out of the 170 million. And what?
How much is that going to the rural barista community?
Thanks.
Yes. Yeah.
And how do we divvy it up?
Yeah.
Does everybody get $40 a week to spend at the local, you know, green bean or you know, cakey kufin outlet, cafe kufin outlet, etc.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
well, that's quite good, isn't it? If a voucher system that can only be spent on coffee and no tea. Because otherwise, you know, baristas are useless. Like, you got to go and buy a latte. Excellent slogan suggested here. Fines for the state is fine for the state.
Whoa!
Huh? Start using fine. We're the fine state. If you think the state's fine, fine yourself, you know. It's good, isn't it? Fines for the state is fine for the state. Well done, Adrian. At Bella Vista, one of our favourite places.
Bella Vista.
Yeah, yeah. Good on you, Adrian. Thank you.
Now. Just another thing on the budget. Did you notice before the election it was all about jobs, jobs, jobs?
Yeah.
Everywhere was jobs apart from the driverless train.
Yep.
Never mind the driverless train. After the election, it's all about cuts to employment.
Yeah.
I don't get this.
Yeah.
Isn't there some middle ground here, which we should be? I think the state government is trying to get rid of 10,000 employees in the next couple of years.
No, I think you're looking at, you're seeing things through the prism of old school 20th century politics. Where what you said before the election should be said after the election. I don't think anybody believes that anymore. I think say what you can to get elected and then deal with what you have to after the election. Two different things.
Right. And people accept this?
I think so.
Good.
I think we've come to accept that and we've come to understand it. You know, we're not voting for what you've said. We're voting for, you know, okay, you can keep doing it.
Now, I know I've raised this before. Any news of the very fast train?
You need to clarify your terms. I don't think there's news of the very fast train, but there's some promise of a fast train, which is not as fast as a very fast train, but it's faster than our usual trains, which are just trains. So you can have your slow train, your light train, your heavy train, your middle train, and then you've got your train, fast train, very fast train. Some chance of a fast train, but good news. Don't know where it's going, when it's going to start, what it's going to cost. So it's on track so far.
I think the think tank down there on Macquarie Street, the planning think tank, has announced that they're going to have some more rail built, as you point out. No destination, no starting point, no date, no cost, et cetera.
Well, because I think we've pretty much, I think one of the problems that they're finding with Sydney Planning at the planning think tank, Greater Sydney Commission and many of the other planning bodies is we've got a lot of stuff going on. We've got a lot of stuff being built. We've got a lot of stuff where we've said this is what's going to happen. We've got a lot of stuff that's being costed. Not a lot of stuff being announced. There's a shortage of announcements at the moment. So they're looking to find some new things to announce, and because otherwise you're just sitting there going, no, we're just working on the metro out to Parramatta. Well, that's all very well. We know about that. Announce something. Give me hope. Show me a vision for the future. Tunnel through the Blue Mountains. Okay, thank you. Tunnel through the Blue Mountains. Great.
I think you'll find the metro to Parramatta is a bit problematic, isn't it? Because it relies on federal funding, which they're not sure is there.
Really? That's before the election it was there, but now it's after the election. Different world.
Thanks.
You know, the economy before the election was great. We should never have had the election because it's made the economy really bad.
It has.
The economy suddenly got really bad. It was great before the election. Have an election, it's ruined the economy. It's terrible.
But more importantly, we get the fine for fines. Fine for the state.
Fine for the fines. Yeah. Do a fine for the state. Now, what about state against mate?
State against mate.
Dobbin a mate. Dobbin a mate, fine a mate, state against mate. It's good, isn't it? The
it's
mate state.
Now, look, I don't know if I can do this, but I did want to raise the level of the debate and have a look at an international issue.
Okay.
Now, this goes to Barcelona, and you may have covered this already, but the La Sagrada Familia Basilica, still unfinished after 137 years.
Oh,
yeah. Now, it's got planning permit to finish it off.
Oh, isn't that great?
137 years. Yeah, yeah. Now, the Barcelona City Hall has finally issued a permit for the unfinished church designed by Antonio Gaudí.
Yeah.
They're hoping that the city has granted the current builders a licence that will be valid through to 2026,
right.
So they better get a wriggle on.
Yeah, okay.
The builders, that'll be enough time to
traditionally
finish.
They've been quite slow at it, so...
Correct.
Wait for it.
The first stone was laid in 1882.
Mm-hmm.
Barcelona officials said there was no record showing a building permit had ever been granted or rejected. It's hell of a building for those who know it.
Yeah.
Officials said the city will be paid, wait for it, 4.6 million, that's 7.5, that's euros, or 7.45 million Australian in fees under agreement negotiated with the foundation devoted to completing and preserving the Sagrada Familia.
So they pay to complete their own building?
They do. Now, see what I mean?
I'm with you now.
See what I mean?
That's
local,
very good.
Local, sort of, imagine if you said to the Opal Tower people, oh, by the way, if you want to complete this building.
Yeah. Kick $10 million into the state coffers.
The agreement between the city and the foundation puts to an end a historical anomaly in the city, said a Barcelona official. Now, what about, I'm not sure if the original design exists, but how about an Australian design competition to finish it off?
To finish the Gaudi?
Yeah. To finish the La Sagrada Familia.
Yeah, yeah.
Can I point out, the reason also why I raise this is Gaudi famously was died in a weird tram accident. He looked one way and saw the tram coming along, stepped back to avoid it, and was hit by a tram coming the other way.
Yeah.
Now, there's a tale.
That's right.
There's a tale for Sydney.
Yeah.
I have seen the tram that is the light rail moving. I haven't seen two moving at once, though.
Right.
Which may take a fair bit of time to organise.
Yes, yes. Do you know if you're able to stand in between the two?
You can. I've seen that.
Because that seems to be your problem there.
It's an accident
waiting to
happen. You're
able to walk into the middle of the road, as it were, and stand between two tram lines. That's
you can.
I think in Melbourne they discourage that practice. Try to cross the corner, all that sort of stuff. Jerry's wondering if we could have very small trains. So much emphasis on fast and light. What about a very small train, virtually personal? Chuck it in the boot and take it down to your local railway station.
Now,
it's a nice idea, isn't
that's
it?
That's a nice idea. That brings me to the gig economy.
Mm.
Are we sure the gig economy is going to last?
Mm.
Meaning that you get something from somewhere delivered to you on a bike or a Lime bike or whatever it is, or a Segway.
That's right. Need the lawns mowed onto Airtasker.
Yeah, forget that one for a minute. It's mainly the deliveries I'm worried about. Won't drones knock that rotten?
Well, this could be could ruin the whole thing.
Well, you see,
unless you're still going to need your 16-year-old instead of being on the bike, is at home with the app operating the drone.
Well, hang on a minute.
Are you the drones automatic?
Well, we've broken stories here on this very program about research done at the University of New South Wales, world first research into how the future will develop using drones.
Mm.
And remember, it was prize winning research, I think a 20-year-old one.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. As I understand it, you want something delivered, let's say a cup of coffee.
Yep.
You dial into the phone where you are and you dial into their app the thing that you want.
Yeah. Robot barista makes the coffee. Drone picks it up on the end of the production line, flies to me, and all of this is basically GPS, computer, there's no human involved.
If you want a personalised barista, I'm sure that's an extra.
That'll be an
extra.
You
could have that because you might be able to get Wally or Fiona.
Yeah.
Fiona's got a great touch.
Yeah, that sort of thing.
Never over-extracts Fiona. Brilliant.
Yeah. So well, still be premium places
premium
where you
places
go and sit at a table and someone will bring you coffee. But if you're a busy person like you and I on the move, I need, coffee delivered an hour later, a pad thai, a little bit of banana bread in the middle of the afternoon. You know, like, I don't have time to sit at the cafe. I love it that people do. Not I don't. I need it delivered to me.
And remember, congestion.
Yeah.
See,
that's right.
Your coordinates in your congestion mean you're not at home, et cetera. You're not at work.
Yeah.
Therefore, you're on the move, but you're stuck.
Yeah.
Now, that's the people, that's the future, the people who are stuck.
Let's not forget the Chinese style. It'll always be known where you are.
No, that's true.
You know, the app will, of course, tell everybody exactly where you are. So if you just suddenly press the latte button, you'd have a favourites. You'd have favourites, latte, bang. You know, that's it. You don't need to do anything else. It's going to turn up. It'll be the nearest available drone arista who will deliver it
to you.
Drone aristas who will deliver it to you. It'll probably brew in the drone while it's going, you know, so it's fresh and hot when it gets there. Sugar, sir. No, thank you. That's terrific. You know I don't take sugar. Sorry. We'll change the algorithm. And then off it flies, you know. Perfect. It's going to be very, very good.
Can I finish up with moving the ABC? I know you're very keen to get into this, and I know the audience will.
Very excited.
As I understand it, the ABC, various people in the National Party or Country Party or whatever it's called these days, think the ABC could be moved to a shopfront and sale. Is that fair?
Yeah, shopfront and sale, or Bean Lee is another favourite destination for.
Bean Lee.
I think ABC Radio Sydney broadcasting out of Bean Lee is a fantastic idea. I think that could work a treat.
I point out the shopfront sale is not going to be able to accommodate Q&A? I mean, that's a fact.
No.
You might be able to get three on the panel and maybe four in the audience inside the front room there.
But you'd use the sale town hall for that, for the show. The shopfront is the researchers, bit of back office operation, HR. With Tony Jones, you've had 12 days holiday so far this year, and you'll need to take those other 12 before December 4, that sort of thing. So that sort of stuff's going on in the shopfront, but you're still going to use the sale town hall or the footy stadium. Perhaps, I don't know if there's a sale, Leeds clubs, the equivalent thereof, sale football club or something. They have an auditorium, so you could use those. I mean, why do we have our own special auditoriums when you've got Penrith Panthers that you could be using? What's in Penrith Panthers on a Monday night? Q&A, I say.
Right. Yeah. So hang on, you don't have any studio facilities of your own because you've got other, and because you're making so little.
So many other buildings, Your average private school has bigger studios and theatres than the ABC these days. So
why not rent them?
Yeah, rent them, drop in there,
Are you happy about moving to sale, though, to do this program?
Yeah. For a long time I've thought we're limited by being in Sydney, doing a show about Sydney to Sydney. That limits it. So why not expand it? Do a show about Sydney to Sydney but from somewhere else.
But then
that's bringing a different perspective. Alan Jones doesn't bring that perspective to Sydney broadcasting.
Right. Well, you thought about this a lot longer than I have, because my thing was you would be in broadcasting at the same time as, let's say, I don't know, who does, Raf Epstein out of Melbourne.
Yeah.
All right, and apologies for the people in Brisbane. Oh, he's in Yass.
Yeah, he's not in Sale. Raf Epstein in Melbourne is in Yass. We're in Sale. Q&A maybe moves to Beenleigh. You know, maybe...
What, the sport department in Pambula?
Sport department in Pambula, news, you know, news needs a bigger centre, so possibly Warrnambool, Adelaide, something like that. You know, a bigger sort of centre, Toowoomba.
Are you sure this is what the National Party's got in mind?
I think so. I think that's what they would see.
I saw Sale as it.
Oh, I see. You thought it was... No, I think they were seeing break up the structure and move it all out to there. Now, for those that are interested, we have done some research because we thought, well, this is terrific being suggested by the National Party. They must have had a look at this themselves.
Yeah.
And what we've discovered is they have, and they've decided to put all of their state head offices, for example, in the capital cities.
What?
So your New South Wales National Party, you know where the office is? Pitt Street. They're Pitt Street farmers. So their office
is
in
madness.
Pitt Street. Well, but don't you see they're doing the same thing? They represent the country, but they're in the city. So they're saying to us, do the same. You represent the city, be in the country. I get it now. That's a good idea. That's terrific. You know, I'm just following their logic. It's a perfect solution.
Have they got any ideas about fines?
We'll be fined if we come back. I think that's it. H.J. Nelson, an excellent Even Greater Sydney Planning Committee. Thank you for insights and research there, and very, very capable, capable presentation. Absolutely wonderful. We'll see you again this time next week.
You will, Mr. Valentine, and thanks for the airspace.
You're listening to James Valentine on ABC Radio.